These rioters three, of which I tell, long erst a prime wrong of any belle, were set him in a tavern for to drink, and as they sat, they heard the bell clank, before a corse was carried to his grave. That one of him gan call unto his knave, "Go bet," quod he, "and axe ready lie, what cause is this that passeth here forby? And look that thou report his name will." "Sire," quod this boy, "it needeth never a deal. It was told ere ye came here two horse. He was, pardy, an old fellow of yours, and suddenly he was slain to night, for drunk he as he sat at his bench upright. There came a privy thief of men, clippeth teeth. And in this country all the people sleeth, and with his spear he smote his head to two, and went his way without an word's more. He hath a thousand slain this pestilence, and maester, ere ye come in his presence, me thinketh that it were necessary for to beware of such an adversary, with red eye for to meet him every morn. Thus talked me, my dame, I say no more. By Saint Mary, said this taverner, this child saith sooth, for he hath slain this year hen over a mill within a great village, both man and woman, child and hind and page. I trow this habitation be there to been advised great wisdom it were, ere that he did a man dishonour. Ye God's arms, quod this rioter, is it switch peril with heim for to meet? I shall heim sicke by way and eke by street. I make a vow to goddess Digne Bornes, hec nith fellows, we three been all oneness. Let ech of us hold up his hand till uther, and ech of us become an uther's brother, and we will slain this false traitor death. He shall be slain, which that so many I sleeth, by God's dignity, ere it be night.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, what I'd like to talk about today is a response to something rather pertinent at the moment, which is pestilence, or simply death, a response to plague, a response to how to deal with serious illness. And that response is the disgust response. So, why do we become disgusted? What is the evolution of disgust? Where has disgust come from? Well, disgust is a very interesting emotional response. It is a very, very basic response. It is seemingly found in all cultures, among all peoples, everywhere. It is characterised by exactly the opposite of aggression. So aggression, and that kind of response, you have increased heartbeat, it's flight mode. You have increased heartbeat, you have increased blood pressure, and the idea is to get out, to get away as quickly as possible. The disgust response is exactly the opposite. The disgust response involves decreased heartbeat, slowing down, perhaps lowered blood pressure. So it's not a response, it's not a flight response or a fight response. It's a carefully analyse this situation, be very careful and get away kind of response. That is the disgust response. It is characterised, again, in all cultures, which shows you what a central part of being a human or being an animal it is, by a certain specific disgusted face. The lowered brow, the wrinkled nose, the inverted sort of U-shaped mouth, the lower lip slightly protruding. That is disgust. You get disgust in this exact way in all cultures, and everybody, including children, are seemingly quite good at identifying the disgust face. Now, what are we disgusted by? Well, in general, we are disgusted by bodily products, by things like spoiled food, by certain kinds of animals that are associated with disease, such as rats, by problems with hygiene, by mutilation, by death, by basically anything that might cause infection. Anything that might cause us to take in pathogens that might kill us. And so consequently, disgust in a context which, of course, we don't understand how pathogens work. We only understood the actual scientific workings of pathogens at the end of the 19th century. Before that, nobody washed their hands when in hospitals. And the rate in which women would die giving birth in hospitals was higher than the rate at which they died giving birth at home, because nobody washed their hands, because nobody understood pathogens and germs and these invisible things, these viruses. Nobody understood this, but what there was a disgust response. That was the evolved response to deal with this. Those that had a disgust response in the face of pathogens, those who would withdraw from things that were pathogenic, those people were more likely to survive. And so it seems that this disgust response was evolved for. Consistent with this withdrawal reaction, we know that people who are higher in the personality trait neuroticism, that is to say people who feel negative feelings strongly, and therefore people who tend to be antisocial and who tend to withdraw from situations, those people feel disgust more strongly. And similarly, people who are conscientious, people who have high impulse control, who are rule following and control of their emotions, those people tend to feel disgust more strongly. So it seems that disgust is an evolved withdrawal response that slows the body down, that makes the body to some extent or to a certain degree non-aggressive, and allowed to withdraw from the situation and thus be less likely to be exposed to the thing which is the cause of disgust, which is likely to be pathogens, which is likely to be something that will cause disease. So it is an evolved mechanism, although there are all kinds of variations in what you find disgusting, which I'll look at in a minute, but it is an evolved mechanism to make us avoid pathogens, to make us avoid disease. Now, what is then interestingly found, the way that this seems to extend, is that people find the in-group more attractive than the out-group. Why do they find the in-group more... Not only do they find the in-group more attractive than the out-group, but there's evidence that people will tend to feel a disgust response in particular circumstances, a disgust response to the out-group. They will find the out-group and members of the out-group disgusting. Why? Well, if you're part of an in-group, then you are normally evolved to a specific ecology. And if you're evolved to a specific ecology, you will be evolved to deal with specific diseases, you will be evolved to deal with specific pathogens, and therefore it makes sense to be attracted to a member of the in-group, because that member of the in-group, because he's more likely to be related to you than a member of the out-group, is going to have the same kind of immune system as you. He's going to have the immune system which is going to deal with the same kind of pathogens that yours does, and so any offspring you have are going to be immune to those local pathogens. So it makes sense from an evolutionary perspective, in a context of a large amount of pathogens, of a large amount of disease that you can't do anything about, to be attracted to people that are similar to you. It makes sense to not be attracted to people that are different from you, who are from out groups, A, because they're likely to have a different immune system, and so having children with them is going to possibly lead to your children having a compromised immune system for that ecology, and B, because they're likely to bring different pathogens which you're not adapted to into your ecology. And so consequently, it makes sense to be extremely disgusted by and to repel the outsider, because the outsider is likely to bring foreign pathogens that you're not adapted to, that could literally ravage your population into your ecology. So it's a way of getting rid of foreign diseases and a way of maintaining a genetic adaptation to the local diseases that are there. Now, that said, there is that's the instinctive aspect of disgust. That's the aspect of disgust that's strongly genetic, but there are differences in what is found disgusting, and there is a clear evidence that disgust is, to some extent, is a learnt response. So the level of disgust felt by young children is lower than the level of disgust felt by children once they reach the age of about 4. Then their level of disgust starts to go up, they start to be more disgusted by things, they have a stronger disgust response, and they also start to learn from their parents what things are considered disgusting. Now, this is an adaptation to an ecology where there's a niche. Remember that we have this idea of our strategy, a fast life history strategy, where you're a generalist, you're not adapted to anything, you simply live fast and die young, and a slow life history where the ecology is extremely predictable and extremely harsh, and therefore you have to be adapted to a very specific ecology. If you're a generalist and you're adapted to everywhere, you won't function in such a harsh, difficult ecology, and you'll simply die. Now, therefore, people in that ecology need to be highly environmentally plastic, so that they are adapted to the nature of that ecology, and so they can move to different ecologies and compete. People in that ecology are in an ecology because it's so harsh, where the population carrying capacity for their species of the ecology is reached, so they're competing against members of their own species to survive. They have to find a niche in order to do that and to constantly compete. They have to be very, very flexible to the environment when they're in competition, in order to constantly find a new niche. That means they're environmentally plastic and sensitive to what the environment's like, so they can always find new niches. And that means, therefore, that the disgust response, interestingly, seems to become more plastic. So we find among humans, as compared to animals, that the disgust response tends to be more learnt. So very young babies will play with dog excrement and whatever. They won't understand, or they won't have any disgust response to rats, because these are things that have to be learnt. There are certain disgust responses relating to taste and things like this which are simply inbuilt. We just know it's disgusting. But there are other disgust responses that have to be learnt. And in certain ecologies, it might be adaptive to have different levels of disgust. For example, in an ecology in which there is in which there is not enough food, in which there is constant famine, it would make sense to not be particularly disgusted by things like rats or snakes or whatever, because they're a source of food and they're going to help you survive. But in many other ecologies in which this problem does not exist, then it would be more adaptive to be disgusted by things like rats and snakes, because they are poisonous, because they are dirty, because there is a clear downside to eating animals like that. And you're better off if you can avoid it not having to do so. And so if you don't have to do so, you shouldn't, and so the disgust response arises. So we can start to see why there are, for various other reasons, cultural differences in what is found disgusting. Therefore, there is a degree to which disgust is learnt, and it's adaptive to learn disgust. More generally, however, disgust tends to extend, as I said, to groups. Why does it extend to groups? It extends to groups partly because of the pathogen issue, but partly because of other issues as well. This brings me on to the issue of religion. It's been found that religious people have higher generalised disgust than non-religious people. They react with greater disgust, controlling for culture, to the same thing than non-religious people do. Now, why do they do this? What is going on here? Well, the tendency is for religion is, as we've discussed in other videos, is adaptive. Religion is 0.4 genetic. It's found in all cultures. It's associated with fertility. It's associated with physical and mental health. There are parts of the brain that are specifically associated with it. So religiousness is adaptive. It's been selected for in prehistory. And the group which... the religious group, any kind of group which will survive under Darwinian conditions, it's been shown by computer models, is a group that is high in positive ethnocentrism, that is to say internal cooperation and whatever, and negative ethnocentrism, that is to say repelling the outsider. That is the group, all else being equal, that survives. And it's been shown at the genetic level that religiousness correlates with traditional religiousness correlates with being highly ethnocentric. Now, it would make sense in that context for you to have a disgust response towards the out-group, because it would make you want to repel the out-group, and the out-group could be considered ultimately a danger to your survival, A, in terms of bringing in pathogens, but B, in terms simply of your survival as a group. They are fighting with you for the same resources, therefore you want to repel them. So if you had a disgust response towards them, then that would make a great deal of sense. And that's what we seem to have with religious people. We seem to have a very strong disgust response towards outsiders. Religious people are disgusted, therefore, because remember that there's this plastic element to what's disgusting. They are just the way that religion works is it takes things which are basically adaptive behavior, pass on your genes, fight for your group, make sacrifices for your group, and even quite narrow things like don't eat certain things, which it turns out will go off easily in the environment that you're in, or such as shellfish. It tends to take adaptive behaviour and it makes that behaviour into the will of God. And so if you follow the diktats of the traditional religion, then you are more likely, which are bound up with God, then you are more likely to pass on your genes. And so whatever the diktats of traditional religion are, follow them, you're more likely to pass on your genes. It makes sense, therefore, to be disgusted by those that don't follow those diktats, to not really know why, to not really understand the evolutionary reasons why you are disgusted by what they're doing that is against your religion or is against the diktats of your religion, but just know that it's disgusting and those people should be avoided and those people should be shunned. And that's what we see with religious people. They have this very strong sense of disgust with regard to people that break the diktats of their group. They are also disgusted, the evidence indicates, by people that are not part of their group, people that are members of other religions and people who are heretics within their group, people who question the dogmas of their group. Why would that be the case? Well, those the foreign group, remember, are people that they're fighting against ultimately. There is a degree to which what religion you're in is a proxy for genetic relatedness. So religions tend to be hereditary, they tend to be passed down through families, and so there is an extent to which anybody that's not a member of your religion is probably genetically dissimilar to you, might have a different immune system from you, might compromise your immune system under Darwinian conditions, and therefore you should be disgusted by them. But also anyone that's a bit different from you ultimately is in a group selection battle for genetic dominance with you, and so you should be disgusted by them. And if they are heretics, if they're members of your group that are questioning the dogmas, it can be argued that they are undermining your group, they are undermining the unity of your group, they are undermining the ethnocentrism of your group, and this makes them dangerous, and this makes them therefore something you should be disgusted by so that they can be repelled. And so this is why this seems to work. Now, why should religious people be higher in disgust than non-religious people? Well, as I said, the evidence is that we are evolved to be religious. That is the genetic norm. And so those people are the people that pass on their genes and have good mental and physical health and get on in life, basically. Whereas we know that people that are irreligious, that is associated with poor mental health, poor physical health at the genetic level. It's associated with being physically unattractive, because how attractive your face is a marker of how high your mutational load is, how many mutant genes you have, to the extent to which you deviate basically from the pre-industrial genetic norm. We were under Darwinian conditions, strong Darwinian conditions until the Industrial Revolution. Now we're not. There's been a collapse in child mortality from 50% down to about 1%, and therefore there's more and more people each generation carrying these mutant genes who wouldn't have survived under normal Darwinian conditions. Those people have maladaptive genes of the body. That will be associated with maladaptive genes of the mind, because the mind is 84% of the genome, and that's a massive target for mutation. And so people that aren't religious are not only going to have less attractive bodies, it's been demonstrated, by the way, in research, that people that are conservative or who are religious have more symmetrical faces, i.e. they are more physically attractive than people who are irreligious, but they're going to have maladaptive minds, which will, religiousness will be one thing that's maladaptive, but it will be associated with other maladaptive things and other maladaptive desires, such as destroying religiousness and destroying their own genetic interests and the genetic interests of others. And so it would make sense to be disgusted by them, but also it would make sense for them to be low in disgust, because they are low in all of these things that under Darwinian conditions you're adapted to be, and one of the such as religiousness or desire to pass on your genes or whatever, and one of those things that you're adapted to be is to be disgusted by things that it is adapted to be disgusted by, and so they're not disgusted by those things because they're low in disgust. They're because they're maladaptive. They are, of course, disgusted by people that are not of their group. So people that don't agree with their dogmas, these people that aren't religious, they seem to show a strong sense of disgust towards them. So it's as if normal evolutionary combinations have broken down and have produced this group that has some adaptive traits in terms of surviving as a group. But they are a group that ultimately won't survive, because part of their dogmas is that you should be an individual and you should be antinatalist and whatever. But one of the things they have kept is a disgust response towards outsiders, towards people that don't agree with their dogmas, towards people that are of a different group from them. It's that deep in us to be disgusted by members of the out-group, that even these people who would be maladaptive have kept that response. And I think that's why you see them not liking people like ourselves being on YouTube, being on Google, being on Twitter, being on their platforms. They are disgusted by us because we are polluted. We are like a pollutant. We're an example of pollution that is their platform, which is pure and special and free of things that are disgusting. And then you've got these people that don't agree with them on their platform as they see it. And that is polluting their platform. And that elicits a disgust response. And a disgust response can also sometimes make you angry because you feel angry that you are disgusted and that the other person has subjected you to these unpleasant feelings of disgust. So I think when these kinds of people say things like, oh, I saw this person make this comment that I don't agree with and I felt literally sick, this will only be virtue signalling hyperbole to a certain extent. There may be a degree to which they do feel literally sick because a person who is part of an out-group has expressed an opinion which doubts their opinions, and we are evolved to feel disgust at that. And also that person is disgusting. That person is part of an out-group, that person, by virtue of what his opinions are, and therefore he is disgusting. He elicits disgust. So this may be part of where this concept of deplatforming and so on comes from. It's this remnant, a very strong dimension of disgust, which is felt even among those who are mutants, who have devolved from the Darwinian norm to which we are selected. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please feel free, if you enjoy these videos, please subscribe. This channel is being shadow banned, remember, so please subscribe, please hit the red button, please tweet about it, please tell people about it on Facebook, please join me every single Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time for a live stream. Please subscribe on BitChute, very, very helpful if you do that, because ultimately we're all going to have to move over there, because that's the place that believes in freedom of expression and is what YouTube used to be. You can, if you want to help me fund this, then you can, of course, help me using Subscribestar, using Patreon, and sending an offline super chat via Entropy. All of the details are below, and I will see you soon. And until then, stay safe, be healthy, and goodbye!